So the Epistle for Passion Sunday is taken from Hebrews chapter 9. Brethren, Christ, being come a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and of oxen and of the ashes of a heifer, being sprinkled, sanctify such as are defiled, to the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who by the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And therefore he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death for the redemption of those transgressions which were under the former testaments, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 8. At that time, Jesus said to the multitude of the Jews, "Which of you shall convince me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me? He that it is of God heareth the words of God. Therefore you hear them not, because you are not of God." The Jews therefore answered and said to him, "Do not we say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me. But I seek not my own glory, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if any man keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I shall say that I know him not, I shall be like to you a liar. But I do know him and do keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced that he might see my day, and he saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am." They took up stones therefore to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Please be seated. You have nailed the salvation of the world to the wood of the cross. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. As I mentioned, with the purple veils, we've entered into Passion Tide. These next 2 weeks, we focus specifically on the passion of our Lord, his death, and in a sense, what he has done for us. And so a focus is on the cross itself. And so that is why externally we cover the statues, we even cover the cross. Obviously, we'll have the unveiling on Good Friday. It is as if the church is in mourning, mourning because of what our Lord has suffered for us. We suppress the Gloria Patri, as you noticed, with the asperges. Also, it's suppressed in the introits, the lavabo. We repress any last resemblance of any joy. Because now, yes, we focus on the cross. We focus on our Lord's death. And that is something that we must try to take these last 2 weeks to do. These are the last 2 weeks of Lent, but they are the two most important. Because as I say, we focus on the cross, we focus on our Lord's passion and what he suffered in order for us to have the chance for our redemption again. And so that's why we must try to look at that. I mean, in the liturgy, in the masses, we will see how much the cross is brought out to us to look at, to consider, to contemplate, of how it is through this cross that we are redeemed, of how it is through our Lord's death on the cross, he brought about our salvation, or at least the chance for us. And that is why in the preface of Passion Tide, when it talks about how you have nailed the salvation of the world to the wood of the cross, but it continues on later on in the preface itself, that it mentions that he who won his victory through a tree should be vanquished on a tree. I mean, something for us to consider and something for us to think about. Of how our Lord, he defeated sin, defeated the devil in that sense by his death on the cross, but that he would also find his death on the cross. Of how he was able to win his victory, but then also that is how he lost his life, how he gave himself for us. And so it is a contemplation in all of these masses you will see. Obviously, Psalm 42 also is omitted. Again, the church makes this like the church is in mourning because of the purple veils, because Psalm 42 is omitted just like it is at a Requiem Mass. So the church mourns the fact of what our Lord suffered for us and that he will die for us. And you will see in the liturgy, especially on Good Friday, of how our Lord will ask the question, "My people, what have I done to you? What have I done to you to crucify me?" And so that is something that's for us to contemplate. Through our sins, through what we have done, we have crucified our Lord. And so that is what the church gives to us during these 2 weeks to really consider. We consider our sins, we consider what we have done to our Lord. And that is why then the encouragement is to make a good confession. That is why we have the mission itself preached to us. For us to consider, for us just to try to take advantage of that time in preparing for this greatest week. It is the pinnacle of our liturgical calendar for us. Because the resurrection of our Lord, that is what we are keying on. Because that is what brings us to the chance for our redemption. So that is what we must try to contemplate during this time. But then also, in a sense, what are the dispositions we must have? And that's why I say we must meditate upon the passion of our Lord. Also, the stations of the cross is a very good meditation for us. The encouragement, obviously, is to come to stations on Friday. There's been a good attendance with that. But also to even take some time during the week to think about the different stations. The times our Lord fell. His offerings that he makes to us. So to meditate upon the passion, as I say, you will find a lot of richness in the stations of the cross on our Lord's passion. But I think also something that we must try to consider during this time of disposition is one of gratitude for our Lord. You know, to the world, a lot of times they wonder why Catholics do not eat meat on Fridays. It is to recognize our Lord's death on the cross. And that is why it's so important to us to recognize that. Traditionally, if you ate meat because you didn't really care it was a Friday, traditionally that would be a mortal sin. Because our Lord died on Friday for us. And so that is why for us, Fridays are so important for us to offer up sacrifices and penances. Simply also, thus to remember not to eat meat as a small thing that we give to God, but it shows our gratitude to Almighty God. It shows what he has done for us. And then finally, also another disposition that we should have is repentance of our sins. I mean, that we have seen very clearly throughout the time period of Lent. That constant reminder to us of being sorry for our sins, asking for God's mercy because of our sins. And that is something that the Desert Fathers used to talk about, the idea of penthos, this idea of mourning over our sins, having true contrition for our sins. You can see it come out in the Old Testament with the Lamentations of Jeremiah. They are focused during Tenebrae, during the time period of Holy Week. But for Jeremiah, he lamented over the fact of Jerusalem leaving Almighty God. Because of their sins, that they turned their back on our Lord. And so therefore for him, the sackcloth and ashes, The sadness in asking, when will they come back? When will you convert back to God? And that can be also a good reminder to all of us. When will we convert truly back to Almighty God? And so, therefore, he had that sadness for offending God. In a sense, sadness over the salvation lost for the people. And that's why he told him, when will you convert? When will you come back? When will you see what you have done? When you see the folly of your sins? And then also, you know, certainly we see in the New Testament, in the Sermon on the Mount, one of the Beatitudes our Lord had said, blessed are those who mourn. It is this idea of penthos, a mourning over our sins, a regret of our past sins. But we can also say a fear of the future judgment for those sins too. And so this is a sentiment we should have during this time. It truly expresses the humility that we have of how it maintains for us an awareness of our condition as a sinner, of knowing our weaknesses that we have. And if we're aware of those, if we know we have our sins, if we know we have our weaknesses, it will help us to have a true contrition for our sins. And to come with that true humility to confession and making a good confession when seeking, obviously, the absolution of Almighty God. And that is why the spiritual authors had a little quote that they would always think of. Salvation always threatened, never assured, and frequently lost. That goes back to the ideas of how our sins, yes, because of our mortal sins, we can lose the chance for salvation. Do we see how quickly we can lose that? But if we have a true sense of mourning over our sins, there will be a vigilance. And that is what our Lord had said to his apostles before his agony. Pray and be vigilant. Be watchful. Watchful because the devil is going to try to seek after you. Seek and devour, as we say at Compline. So if we have this mourning, we will be vigilant and therefore it will help us to have a true contrition for our sins. I think I've mentioned before St. John Climacus, his book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent. And he mentions specifically in there how we can try to gain this true contrition for our sins. You know, how do we acquire that? And he says we must meditate on our last ends, the four last ends. And it's good for us in this time period to meditate upon that. There's even a little book that is called The Four Last Things that helps us to consider our place, consider our sins, consider the judgment of Almighty God. So he mentions that is one good way to help us to gain a true contrition for our sins is to meditate upon the four last ends. He also mentioned mortification. To be mortified, mortify ourselves, and not just during the time period of Lent. Trying to see how that can help us root out our sins. Because when we have a habit of falling into sins, we need something to help us to root that out. And so therefore, the encouragement that St. John Climacus tells, if we want to ascend the ladder to heaven, we must mortify ourselves now. And then finally, what he found to be very fruitful, again, to meditate upon the Passion. Because when we see what our Lord suffered for us and went through for us, it helps us to try to avoid the sins that we fall into. Because that will give us a true vigilance over ourselves. And through that mourning, it will give us a true contrition for our sins. And so St. John, in his book, this ladder of divine ascent, he gives us this means of trying to help us to climb that ladder. Because there is the famous icon, the illustration of it, of how the devils are trying to pull the people off of that ladder. And that's what the devils do. They try to pull us away from ascending in virtue. So therefore, it's important for us to try to reverse that, to fight against that. And so it's a good help to us to take this time, yes, to try to gain this penthos, this contrition for our sins, to be sorry for our sins, to be sorry for what we have done, in fear of our future judgment, yes, that will help us to live a life pleasing to God. So finally, let us also turn to Our Lady of Sorrows. We commemorate on Friday of Passion Week. It's one of the few, we can say, one of the few feast days that are celebrated twice during a liturgical year. Obviously, we know September 15th, the day after the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, we have the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, but it is always celebrated during Friday of Passion Week to help us to prepare for Holy Week. Because as a true mother, she followed her son throughout his passion, throughout his way of the cross, and she stood at the foot of the cross. And so turn to Our Lady of Sorrows, pray to her, that you will have this true contrition for your sins. Because we know what Our Lady suffered during our Lord's passion. We know what Our Lady suffered during his death on the cross. Because it was prophesied when she presented him in the temple, "A sword shall pierce your own heart." In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.